we continue on in our study in the book of James. I'd ask you to turn to chapter 2 with me tonight. And let's read together verses 8 and 9. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. This evening I want to speak specifically on the royal law. What James says here in verse number 8, that if we fulfill the royal law, we love our neighbor as ourselves. We labored last week to challenge each of our hearts not to judge people by outward appearance, no matter what that outward appearance may be, not to judge people based on how they dress, how they look, on and on we might go. Tied in with this, James continues by teaching us that not only are we not to show partiality, but we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Perhaps at a quick glance, this would seem as a trivial matter. But I would encourage you this evening to give thought to this is no trivial matter at all. This is rather a royal law. It is, in my mind, the summation. And we'll get into this in just a few minutes. It is the summation of the second tablet of the Ten Commandments, the second five of the Ten Commandments, the second table of stone. We find that James speaks to the idea of loving your neighbor as yourself and gives that a title of the royal law. This evening I'll ask you, as I say sometimes, I spoil you by quoting Scripture, but this evening I'm going to ask you to turn with me to several passages. But in verses 8 and 9, I want you to see a contrast. James used the illustration in verses 2 and 3 of somebody who is wealthy walks in, you show respect to persons. And now in verses 8 and 9, he makes a comparison, a direct contrast. If ye fulfill the royal law, ye do well. If, however, on the other hand, ye have respect unto persons, in verse 9, ye commit sin. It's almost as if on one side there is this giant mountain that is the royal law, and on the other side of this valley there is a giant mountain of partiality. And James would tell us that if we travel that mountain of respect of persons or partiality, we commit sin. Rather, we must travel through the mountain of the royal law. Go by the way of the royal law. For if ye do that, you do well. And let me ask one of these rhetorical questions that James was wont to ask, or a rhetorical question that James might ask. Do you, dear saint, want to do well in the sight of God? Do you want to do well? Do you want to do that which God's Word plainly says that this is a right and proper thing to do? And I believe the answer from all of God's children would be yes. I want to do what's right. But then that immediately upon the heels of that confession, we sound off a little bit like the Apostle Paul, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. In other words, I want to do well, but I also battle with what's wrong. And this is, as I mentioned to you last week, this is not an easy demand. This is no simple precept as far as just nothing to it. This is a demanding decree. It is so demanding, in fact, that James says it's a royal law. That, and I say this, and I say this with great love and sincerity, you cannot do this in the flesh. Your flesh doesn't want to love your neighbor as yourself. Your flesh wants to love you. And your flesh wants to be good to those that can be good to you. Your old nature wants to be cuddled and spoiled and loved and nursed and taken care of. However, the demand of Holy Writ, in fact, this royal law demands that we love our neighbor as ourselves. There are 50 million excuses to be offered. Well, I don't know this person. I can't help everybody. Well, look how they treat me. Look how they act. And when we go through that big, long list and get everything said and done, the royal law still demands that we love our neighbors ourselves. What makes this law so royal? And my first answer to that is, well, who gave it? That's what makes it a royal law. God gave it, and that makes it a royal law indeed. James calls the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 1, the Lord of glory. Tried to preach that and emphasize to you the beauty of that turn of phrase. Here James speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, He is the Lord of glory. And the Lord of glory has spoken this law, and so it must be a royal law. It is a glorious law given by a glorious God. Christ the King of kings and Lord of lords, divine royalty has issued this royal law. And it is to be strictly observed by all those within His kingdom. Verse 5, if you turn back up, in the middle of the verse, it speaks of those who are poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which He has promised. Christ has a kingdom. He is a king. As born-again believers, we are members of that kingdom. And our king has issued a divine proclamation. So we live in this United States of the Republic, and we don't understand so much what it is to serve under a king. But in a spiritual new birth, we become members of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our king. And our king has issued a divine proclamation, and that is, as if He were sitting upon His throne, saying, I demand that all those subjects within My kingdom love their neighbor as themselves. And may we quickly say something that we said the other night is, what a glorious place indeed it would be if we lived in a society that was governed by men and women who loved others as they loved themselves. See, people always ready to throw out God, God's law, and God's rule. Just consider how beneficial something like this would be to society. How good it would be for a nation if people would yield to this royal law. It is a royal law not only because of who gave it, but I believe that it is indeed the supreme law governing all of our relationships to other men and women. This is a supreme law, a law to rule all laws, a governing law. Jesus said it this way, and we'll turn to that in just a moment, that if we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, that on these two hang all the law and the prophets. How does real faith, you remember the theme of the book of James? The theme of the book of James that I have asked you to ever keep in front of you is how real faith manifests itself. How does real, true faith conduct itself? And it conducts itself in this text by fulfilling the royal law. Would we be so simple-minded as to think that this law simply means that I am to be nice to the person that lives in the house next to me? Would we excuse ourselves by saying, well, all that's really demanded here is the person in the apartment next to me, I'm nice to them. Well, that's certainly not all that is demanded. I suppose it surprises me, but in a sense it doesn't. We used to live up in the sticks whenever we first got married. We lived, that's what we called it, in the sticks. We lived out in the middle of nowhere. And when you were passing someone, they were driving by, do you know they would actually wave at you? Do you remember a time when you would wave at others? Now, son, you probably don't want somebody waving at you now. It may not wave a nice gesture at you. But are we so simple as to think that this demand would say all that is incumbent upon us is I saw my neighbor walk into the mailbox and I threw my hand up at him and that's enough? I tell you, for some people that would be a good start, but that's not enough. I'm a good neighbor. I try to live right and do right to the person that lives in the house next to me, and so there it is, boom, I'm done, the royal law. I fulfilled it. Is that what we would think? Not so, dear friends. While that may indeed be included in this divine decree, it's not enough. I want you to see that this is no new law. All the way back to the time of Moses, God spoke to the children of Israel and said, and I'm not going to ask you to turn to this text, but in a moment, He said to them in Leviticus 19:18, "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Why is it we get this idea that Jesus showed up on the scene and started making up all these new laws and new rules? That's not the case. See, the Pharisees had taken and manipulated and twisted Holy Writ in so much that they had convinced their own people that the only people that they had to be good to was people of their own kind. The Jews, as God's chosen nation, that they allowed a little bit of pride to swell up within them. But it had reached a point to where they had decided that that command in Leviticus 19 was only incumbent upon them with other Jewish people. When Jesus spoke to them and said, you know, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. He told them, you've been lied to. I never said that. My word never declared that. In fact, Jesus would try to clarify, and did clarify, what the Pharisees had manipulated and twisted. When the royal law demands that we love our neighbor as ourselves, we cannot put conjunctions in there. Well, I'll be good to my neighbor if. See, that's what the flesh wants to do. I'll treat my neighbor the way my neighbor treats me. But that's the flesh talk. Well, I'll be good to those that dress like me and talk like me and look like me and act like me. No. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And here before tonight's over, and I'll try to get along so we get to it. We a little bit act like that old lawyer comes around and says, well, who's my neighbor? And well, who does that apply to? This is not in any way a new precept. James certainly just didn't reach up from heaven and pull down a new law. But he is reiterating that which was spoken of all the way back under the Mosaic covenant. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jew, Gentile, makes no difference. How do I do that? Here is the royal law. How do I love my neighbor as myself? And friends, the answer is simple enough. But sometimes simple isn't all that easy. I'll give you an example. How many, I won't ask for a show of hands in this, how many, because I'd have to raise my own problem. How many of us said, I'm going to try to eat better this year? Just a few weeks ago, beginning of, we know very simply what to do and not to do, but sometimes doing what is simple is not all that easy. Maybe your resolution is, I'm going to read through my Bible this year. Simple enough, read day by day. But to carry through that, it's not always that easy. And the simple answer, how do we love our neighbors as ourselves? And the answer to that is, you treat others the way you want to be treated. You see, this royal law has a first cousin. And that first cousin is the golden rule. In fact, I argued with myself whether or not they were cousins or sisters because they're so akin. The golden rule. Do unto others like they do unto you. Well, wait a minute. I believe I might have misspoke. Do unto others before they do unto you. No, I believe I misspoke again. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. See, that's simple enough. So simple we teach it to children. But the practice is not all that easy. The royal law says to love your neighbor as yourself. How do I do that? Well, I take care of my neighbor like I would take care of myself. That's easy, isn't it? No, it's really not. Simple, but it's not easy. There's nothing wrong, and listen to me as I want to emphasize, there's nothing wrong with desiring good things for yourself, for wanting good things for yourself. I'm not talking about an inordinate affection of your own self, but there's nothing wrong with working and laboring with your hands to provide things necessary for yourself or your loved ones. There's nothing wrong. In fact, that's the right thing to do. But in addition to that, the royal law demands that we do not merely work and labor for our own well-being, but also for the well-being of others. There's nothing wrong with wanting. I'd like to have this, and I'd like God to bless me with that. But when we love our neighbor as ourselves, then we don't merely think of our own selves, but we think of them as well. I wonder if we took an application of this royal law and put it in our prayer life and tried to say, well, how much time do I spend in my prayer life for what I want as opposed to what my neighbor needs? You know how a lot of our prayer life is? My name's Jimmy. Dear Lord, what you going to give me? That's how a lot of our prayer life looks like. Rather than bless my neighbor as myself. It's challenging. Let us make a quick confession. All of us love ourselves. Don't sit there and say, well, I don't. Yes, you do. We all love ourselves. Paul spoke in Ephesians 5 and he said, no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it. We have a right, should have a right, concern, care, and attention for ourselves. We desire prosperity for ourselves. We think often of ourselves and our own wants. Yet when we fulfill the royal law, we not only desire prosperity for ourselves, we desire it for our neighbor. We not only think of ourselves, we think of our neighbor. We not only show concern for ourselves, we show concern for our neighbor. We not only care about ourselves, we care about our neighbor. We not only give attention to ourselves, we give attention to our neighbors. And I want to emphasize this as much as I possibly can. Not that I set myself up as the prime example, because I'm not. I am too much like, you leave me alone and I'll leave you alone and we'll get along. I'm too much that way. Especially, you know, when I'm at home. You don't bother me and I won't bother you. We'll get along just fine. But if you see your neighbor in need and you have the means by which to help them, then the royal law demands. God's word doesn't suggest that this would be better if. But the royal law demands that you do what you can to love your neighbor as yourself. I believe it would be wrong to deny your own family what they need to give to others. But I do believe it would be right to see that another has a need. And if you have the means to help them with it, then you do that. We are never. Here's the thrust of this. This is the weight of this. This is the magnitude of what I'm trying to say to you this evening. We are never going to have an impact on the lives of the people around us if we ignore this royal law. When and if. Isn't that how James began verse 8? If ye fulfill the royal law. If we begin to love others as ourselves, then and only then do we show how real faith conducts itself. If you love me, what did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. See, we have succumbed to this romance novel idea of what love is. That love is merely an emotion. But in the Bible, love is not just an emotion, it is an action. Love works. Love does something. You don't just tell your wife and kids, I love you, but you don't do anything for them. You don't tell your wife, oh, I love you so much, but you never show her any affection. That's not love. We have succumbed to this romance novel idea that when we fall in love, we're going to be swept away to some blissful euphoria where tragedy and heartache never comes. Well, that's only in fairy tales. That's not real life. Love is a choice. Jesus said, if you love me, then do something. Isn't that what he said? If you love me, then do something. Keep my commandments. The royal law says, love your neighbor as yourself. So what do? Just tell them we love them? Or do we show them that we love them? Love works. Love is an action word. Love manifests itself. And I don't believe love is hidden. The biblical love, agape, is a love that is seen and felt and known and real and is in some degrees is tangible through action. If we dare try and love our neighbors as ourselves, we don't simply speak of love, but we'll manifest love. Now, I ask you to turn with me. Let's read some stuff tonight here. Matthew 22. Matthew chapter number 22. We'll read here verses 34 down through verse 40. Matthew 22:34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he, and of course that is Christ, had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment." Now listen. "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If you would imagine with me this evening that I have two stone tablets, and engraved on these stone tablets are the Ten Commandments. I don't want to get too sideways with it. The first table of stone, the first five commandments, deal mainly with our relationship and action towards God. If I, as he says in verse 37, if I love the Lord my God with my heart, my soul, my mind, I will not bow down and worship any other God. I won't make a graven image. I won't take his name in vain. If I love him with all of my being, I will honor his day and I will honor my father and mother. And by doing that, I show reverence to the headship of God. So I've got these two stone tablets. And on the second stone tablet is that second law, second group of laws that deal with our relationship to man. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And whatever that last one is, I'm missing. On these two, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If I have these two stone tablets and I seek to hang them up, I look and there is this column right in front of me. And on that column reads the words, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, soul, and strength." And so I take that first tablet and I hang it there. And then I look and I see a second column, and it says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And so then I take that second tablet and I hang it on that second column. On these two commandments, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, body, strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, on these two, Jesus said, hang all the law and the prophets. When it comes to us this evening, if I love my neighbor as myself, I'm not going to bear false witness against him. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to covet. I'm not going to commit adultery. If I love my neighbor as myself, I'm going to seek his well-being and not breach that second tablet of stone. Kids run around today with all their little tablets and think they got something new. You know, Moses had tablets when he came down off the mountain. Of course, he broke his tablets. I hope he got the extended service warranty with his tablets. On these two, I want you to understand. You know, back in the Old Testament, laws were something like this. If you saw your neighbor's animal make its way out of the fenced-in area or whatever it was and it began to wander lost, the law demanded that you go out there and you stop that animal and you return it home? Well, you know what that is? That's loving your neighbor as yourself, because that's how you would want to be treated, isn't it? Laws governing how we dealt with one another. They had laws that would tell them, when someone owes you a debt, this is how you deal with it. And that was the means by which was you show compassion. Isn't that how we want people to show towards us when we are indebted towards them? On and on we might go, setting forth that it is the royal law to love our neighbor as ourselves. We do not accept bribes. We use a just balance. We do not pervert judgment. We don't show partiality. We have no respect of persons. This is how we fulfill the royal law. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. Treating others the way you want to be treated. You come into contact with men and women day by day by day. Listen to this. God has given you a circle of influence. Here's what we do. We make excuse. Well, I can't help everybody in the world. Well, no, you can't. Let's just be reasonably minded. You can't help everybody in the world. You can't take care of every starving child in Africa on your own. But God has given you a sphere of influence, a circle of people. Those to whom you come into contact with, those who you work with, those in your community. You have a sphere or a circle of people with whom you have contact with, and it is to those to whom you are to love as yourself. And this, just think for a minute. How globally impacting that would be if everyone who named the name of Christ did that. If everyone that named the name of Christ would seek to love their neighbor as themselves, to everyone within their circle of influence, just imagine how far that would go. I think it'd spread. I think it'd spread like wildfire. I've been in Tennessee too long. It's a wildfire. If I love my neighbor as myself, then he won't have to worry about me taking, slandering his name, bearing false witness against him. If I love my neighbor as myself, I won't covet the things he has, but I'll rejoice with him. If I love my neighbor as myself, I will not steal from him. I get tired. Don't you get tired? Don't you get tired of having to live in a protected mode all the time? I have to look over my shoulder. I have to hold my purse tight. I have to lock the doors. Because we live in a society where people do not obey this royal law. And it is something like that that makes us yearn and long for a place called heaven where you won't have to do that anymore. Where Jesus, the royal king, will sit upon his royal throne and all the subjects in his royal kingdom will obey this royal law. What a privilege that will be. When I love my neighbor as myself, I give alms to the poor. I speak well. I pray. You pray for yourself, pray for your neighbor. You ask God's blessing upon yourself, ask God's blessing upon your neighbor. Mark, and I got to go here. Mark chapter 12. I put these in somewhat of an order to try to help you. Mark 12. Verses 28. Mark 12, 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. is one Lord. I'm sorry. And thou shalt love thy Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord, thy God, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. My goodness, somebody had to come up and read this for me. Verse 40, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now listen to this. This is Christ. This is red letter words. There is none other commandment greater than these. I believe that's why it's a royal law. Because Jesus spoke of it and said, there's none other commandment greater than these. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, that takes care of the Ten Commandments, the moral law. Romans chapter 13. I'll bring this thing to a close here in the next hour or hour and a half. Romans chapter 13. Oh, it's just a joke. Romans 13, verse 8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Look at verse 9 with me. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. There's a debt that we owe to men. And it's a debt that we cannot ever fully pay. It is a debt of love. You don't have to love everything your neighbor does, but you have to love your neighbor. You don't have to love their lifestyle, but you have to love your neighbor. You don't have to love the way they do this or the way you do that, but you have to love your neighbor. If you will, we'll look at just one or two more in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Man, I could sit right there and preach on that half a night. Serve one another. Let me see if I can make some friends tonight. It always amazes me. And I do this. When we sit down and eat as a church family, I've done it for years to watch people. When we sit down to eat, like as a church family, to watch who is served and who is serving another. Who is serving only themselves and who is serving another. Boy, I tell you, it gets quiet in here sometimes, doesn't it? What does the law say? Who are we to serve? Ourselves? One another. For all the law, this is so sweet. Look at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, how many times does God's word have to say it? Verse 15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you're not consumed one of another. There's another one of those contrasts. By love, serve one another. Love your neighbor. But if you're not going to do that, and you start destroying one another, you'll consume one another. And then in closing, here comes this. Well, who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? When that man willing, now listen to these words. We won't turn and read it. But this man who came to Christ willing to justify himself. In Luke's account, Jesus said, love thy neighbor as yourself. And this man willing, here's what's about willing to justify himself, asked this question, well, who's my neighbor? And then Christ gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. Someone very wisely posed this question about the story of the Good Samaritan. The priest walked by and asked, "What will happen to me if I help this man?" The Levite walked by and asked, "What will happen to me if I help this man?" The Good Samaritan walked by and asked, "What will happen to this man if I do not help?" It was the Good Samaritan who loved the neighbor as himself. How well do we fulfill this royal law? And this is it. Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Can't you see in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ how He loved others? How He gave Himself for others, having loved His own, He loved Him unto the end. Philippians 2, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of Himself no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant. When you want to consider the royal law, consider the royal lawgiver and how He lived. Tonight, tomorrow, throughout the next few days, you'll have an opportunity. And here's how it is. You want to point people to Christ? The royal law. You want to show people who Christ is and the beauty of Christ? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself.